Well, keep your messages coming in to us on 0833 97 97 97 on the text and the WhatsApp. Now, an Irish professor of geography has said that it's clear heat waves are coming more frequently than before. Emeritus Professor of Geography at Maynooth University, John Sweeney, said that Spain in particular is experiencing its second heat wave since May, with temperatures in large parts of Spain passing 40 degrees. Professor Sweeney, good morning, and you're very welcome to the programme once again.
Good morning.
So while some of us might be jumping to take out the sun cream and go sunbathing and we're delighted with this weather that we're getting, it does have very serious implications for our climate.
Yes, it does. I mean, what's happening in Spain at the moment is quite exceptional. This is only June, after all, the middle of June, and we're seeing two heat waves, one in May and one currently, which are bringing temperatures more akin to August in Spain. We've seen, for example, temperatures of up to 43 degrees centigrade in southern Spain earlier this week, and projections that places like Madrid will hit 40 degrees centigrade probably Friday, probably today. So these are things which are of concern, and certainly the Spanish authorities have issued an orange warning, an orange alert, because there's a lot of problems in terms of health impacts for people who are caught under this heat dome, as we call it, which is now beginning to extend further and further to the north, even into southern France. And what we have is a low pressure system to the west of Portugal, driving air from the Sahara, mainly from Morocco and western Algeria, but driving that hot air northwards and ultimately driving it into northern parts of Western Europe. It's what we call a Spanish plume. And we get that now and again, but in Spain in particular, they're much more prone to it because they're much nearer North Africa. And many records are beginning to be broken in Spain. Their May values, for example, were worse in many places than they've had for 50 years. And they're really experiencing temperatures now which are between 7 and 12 degrees above average. So there's a lot of issues come out of this in terms of health. Mm. And we know that that people who are in any way compromised from cardiovascular or pulmonary problems, they don't do well in that kind of heat. And in particular, we know, for example, that in Paris in 2003, something like 70,000 people died. And of course, it's a kind of hidden killer which affects people who are already perhaps prone to these kinds of problems. But in terms of what it does, we know that in hot weather, and we know in Ireland that we feel even uncomfortable when it gets to anything above 20, 22 degrees. But when you get to 40 degrees, your body finds it very hard to lose heat, to sweat. And especially at night time, it doesn't have, in a hot, sticky night, the opportunity to recover. And this is what really does most of the damage. It's actually the nighttime high temperatures. And typically at the moment, Madrid is around 30 degrees, even at 11 o'clock at night. So we can expect to see mortality changes in places, in urban centres in particular, in these kinds of circumstances.
I know people over at the moment that are in Spain. I have friends in Fuengirola and I also have friends in Malta, and they're saying the heat is incredible at the moment. But also the weather is quite warm here in Ireland today, and over the weekend it is to be quite warm also. Do you think sometimes it goes under the radar when we see heat waves in the likes of Spain, Morocco, Algeria, Egypt, because we kind of have the perception those countries are meant to be hot, so we don't really take much note of it?
Yes, I think it's true, and it's true to say that Spain and southern France would have experienced temperatures up into the low 40s over historical time. But what we're seeing now is that these events are happening more frequently, and they're happening in a more severe manner. There was a study done a couple of years ago of a similar heat wave in France to what we're seeing at the moment. And the beauty of the climate science advances is that we can now, if you like, run our climate models with carbon dioxide levels absent, or at pre-industrial levels, and run them with carbon dioxide at present levels. And not just run them once, but run them several hundred times and say, how much more likely is a heat wave like we're experiencing at the moment to be as a consequence of what we've done in greenhouse gas loading of the atmosphere? And the figures that come out, they're quite alarming. I mean, they estimate that in that particular case of the French heat wave 2 years ago, that it was 10 to 100 times more likely to have occurred as a consequence of what we've done to the atmosphere. So it's a clear message that these events, these extreme events, are becoming more severe, but more importantly, they're becoming more frequent. And that's something we're going to have to learn to live with and adapt to in the years ahead. The situation in Ireland, of course, is not as bad as we're experiencing elsewhere. We're lucky in the sense that we're surrounded by a relatively cool ocean. But we do occasionally get the tail end of one of these Spanish plumes, as they're known. We'll get a little blast of that Spanish plume before it disappears. But we're not going to threaten, I don't think, yet, our all-time record of 33.3 degrees, which was measured in Kilkenny Castle way back in 1887. But it's only a matter of time before one of these heatwave events does make us broach that figure and begin to set new records. So we have to be anticipating, therefore, that summers are going to become hotter and drier. And of course, with all of that, there are consequences for our water supply. There are consequences for agriculture, which are quite significant and we have to also adapt to.
Just before we let you go, Professor Sweeney, we spoke to you about a month and a half ago, I think. It's these heat waves obviously coming on the back now of the World Meteorological Organization warning that the target of global warming is to exceed 1.5 degrees by 2026. So obviously that's worrying too.
Yes, well, these are the kind of events which certainly will, I suppose, validate the concerns of the World Meteorological Organization. I think it will take an El Nino event probably in the Pacific to tip us over that 1.5, at least for one of the forthcoming 5 years. But we're overdue one, certainly. And I think as well, one of the connections we have to make with these events, especially in Europe at the moment, is that it's pretty devastating for cereal production. It's pretty devastating for olive production. And of course, food scarcity is becoming something higher on our agenda now as a consequence of what's happening in the Ukraine. So we probably would do with that, could do without a drought such as we've had in southern Europe all of last winter and the heat wave which followed it for the past month or two. So all in all, our climate is telling us that really it's beginning to react to what we're doing in the atmosphere. It's beginning to tell us that climate change is becoming a reality that we have to live with, and indeed a reality that may produce unwelcome impacts in many parts of the world.
Indeed, and just to mention as well, obviously with the weather quite warm today, it's been warm over the weekend. Follow the medical advice if you are going out in the sun. Wear sunscreen, keep hydrated, keep shaded if possible, and, you know, look after pets as well. Don't leave them in hot cars or inside for too long either. But Professor, Emeritus Professor of Geography at Maynooth University, John Sweeney, saying that heat waves are coming more frequently after what we've seen over the last while. Professor Sweeney, many thanks once again for your time.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Yeah, welcome back to the programme. Let's go to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District once again, and Fine Gael Councillor Mark Stafford joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Owen.
Before we get to some of the motions in terms of roads and planning and housing and all of that, the most important one, Mark, that you had down, Bruce Springsteen apparently has familial roots in Rathangan. What's this about?
That's right, Owen, yes. A leading genealogist, Megan Smolnack, in 2016 confirmed that Bruce Springsteen's great-grandmother, Anne Garrity, left Mount Prospect in 1853 and sailed with her family to Freehold, New Jersey, and I suppose the rest of it is history. There was competing claims, but I think, you know, this confirmed that, in fact, Bruce Springsteen, whilst he has other, there are other roots in other parts of Ireland, this confirms anyway that his great-great-grandmother did come from Rathangan in County Kildare. And in 2016, I previously requested that an invitation would be sent. I don't think we received a response. Now, in fairness, it was very short notice. But he is playing the concert in May of next year. And I suppose we want to get out of the traps early and invite him over and sort of entice him as best we can, maybe.
So is there a possibility that Bruce Springsteen will be in Rathangan next year?
Well, we're best foot forward. We're certainly chasing up a few leads as to how we might be able to contact him. Our hope would be that he would come and visit Rathangan, maybe visit Mount Prospect, where his great-great-grandmother came from, and hopefully, if we can find any of his cousins, that's really what we're hoping to find. There are no Garrities left in Rathangan now, but his Kellys, Catherine Kelly, was his great-great-great-grandmother,
right.
And there are Kellys obviously still in Rathangan, so hopefully one of them may well be his cousin.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Bruce Springsteen with familial roots in Rathangan. You learn something new every day. Right, Mark, let's get to the issues then that are affecting the surrounding areas of Rathangan. And first of all, you wanted the council to install further traffic calming measures at Dunbrin on the R415. This is in Allen, in circumstances where single vehicle road traffic accidents continue to occur on the hill of Allen with regular frequency.
Yeah, there's been a lot of single vehicle accidents where cars have gone in on farmland or indeed into the gardens of residences on the side of the hill there at Dunbarne. And previously the council did resurface the road with a sort of more frost resistant surface, because when I previously raised it, we thought maybe it was because of the frost that the cars were having accidents. But whilst that has been done, it appears that the accidents still continue to happen with regular frequency. Now, a lot of it is down to driver behaviour and speed. The council have agreed to freshen up the lines, the dashed yellow lines, to delineate the verges, and they have said that it's a Garda issue for monitoring and enforcement. Now, it so happens that we also had a meeting with the JPC meeting with the representatives of the Garda Síochána in the Kildare district as well on Wednesday, and I was able to raise that with Superintendent Martin Walker. He's going to furnish me with the statistics for the single vehicle accident. So I'm just trying to see how much of an issue it really is.
Okay, and two final questions that you brought forward, Mark. You wanted the council to review its pay parking regulations for the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District in light of the reduction of on-street parking in the Newbridge and Kildare area and the requirement to replace meters. This was something that we spoke about previously on the programme, some of the meters not working.
That's right. So I suppose following on from that, we can anticipate that there's been a substantial loss of revenue due to the reduction of the spaces, and also as a result of the machines being out of order. Now, I did seek direction from the council, and we discussed this, as you say, the last time, what people should do, because there was confusion. So the council did confirm to me that if the meter is broken, you're to go to the next meter. You can't take it that you can park, although in fairness, some of the wardens have been exercising their discretion. They are going to fix the meters in Kildare, or replace the meters in Kildare and Newbridge first, but the purpose of the question this time was to anticipate the loss of revenue and to just find out who bears the cost of replacing the meters and the ultimate cost or the loss of revenue to the council. So they're going to investigate that for me. I assume or I presume that it'll be the Clare County Council who will be at a loss due to the faulty meters.
Okay, and did you get a confirmation on how many days a year that a contractor is engaged in the Kildare Newbridge MD for the purposes of cutting hedges and verges?
Yeah, at this time of the year, you know, it's very important to cut back the hedges and verges, particularly for safety reasons, a lot of hedges. And I know personally, people can't cut their hedges during nesting season, but the council is permitted to do so for road safety reasons and also cut back the grass verges as well. So there are two contractors awarded, or two contractors who work in the Kildare-Newbridge Municipal District. Contractor A works 30 weeks and contractor B completed 11 weeks of hedge cutting last year. And the other question I was asking was, because someone raised it with me, as to why council workers have to work with the contractor's flagmen. It would seem to make more sense that the contractor would supply their own flagmen rather than be holding up council workers. But apparently, okay, that's the contract that was that they have. So the council workers assist the contractor when they're carrying out those works.
Okay, Fine Gael councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, that is Mark Stafford. Thanks indeed for joining us, Mark, and good morning to you. Now, the Kildare Derby Festival gets underway next week. Actually, the weekend launches. Just want to open up our competition for this morning. If you want to be in with a chance of winning a pair of tickets to see Emer Quinn in concert next Wednesday, then all you have to do is text and or WhatsApp the word voice, your name and where you're from to 0833 97 97 97. Emer Quinn, of course, the winner of the Eurovision for Ireland in Oslo in 1996, and she's going to be performing in Kildare Town next Wednesday evening. So text or WhatsApp the word voice, your name and where you're from to 0833 97 97 97. And Ciara, that's just one of the many events taking place for the Derby Festival over the weekend.
Absolutely, and we have another Kildare Newbridge councillor on the line, that is Fianna Fáil's Suzanne Doyle. Good morning, Suzanne.
How are you?
I am good, thank you very much. Owen just referred to it there as the Derby. I think this is a bit of a discussion in the county. Is it Derby or Derby?
I don't know. I think it depends on your age. I think I'm probably from the older crew who call it Derby, which is a bit anglicised. And I think if you're phonetically correctly pronouncing it, it's probably the Derby.
Yeah, I say the Derby, Suzanne.
Yeah, well, you're a good bit younger than me, so there you go. I probably was brought up listening to people on English television, because for years I've
been
working
with
my grandmother's bookies, and that's what you'd be hearing on the over the news was the Derby, the Derby, the Derby. But I think now it's generally the Derby.
Yes.
So whatever you want to call it yourself, but you know what it is for us, it's more than the race. Because when I grew up, you'd know the Derby was coming, because all the white stones around the curve would be painted up white, and there was a real sort of sense of excitement. So the British have their Golden Jubilees, we have our Derbies.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time.
Irish people. Absolutely.
It's kicking off this weekend, Suzanne, and just begin with what's happening tomorrow.
So tomorrow we're having a cycle race for, well, we're hoping for families and young people. The guards are coming in, they're going to cycle with young people and do a loop of the Curra. We're very conscious that there's many new people living in Kildare who are maybe not au fait. So there's somebody from Johnny Murtha's yard going to come out and host the group and talk to them about what happens in a training stable. They'll go on to the race course, they'll go to race, and they'll be back at the square. And interestingly, the guards are bringing a machine. It's a unique identifying machine, and you can have a tattoo put on your bike. So if your bike gets stolen or missing, it can get repatriated to you. Because what often happens, stolen property is found, but there's no idea of who owns it, because there's no way of identifying it. So that'll be a very handy, useful thing for people who have expensive equipment and bikes that they've bought for their families. And that's kicking off 12 noon from the square in Kildare. And the manager in the store has organised that. And I think he has arranged that the kids will actually cycle through the racing starting stalls at the beginning of the race. So we're not calling it a race, really. I shouldn't be saying that. It's a little amble or a jaunt around the Curra. So that's at 12 o'clock tomorrow. And then on Sunday, our Father's Day big thoroughbred race starts. And that's starting from 8 p.m. right up until 11 p.m. So if you're a marathon runner, you'll be out at
8 a.m., is it?
8 a.m. But if you're a 5K or a 10K, which is where lots of people come in, you can register up in the Hive from now on. The Hive is across from the old courthouse. We'll be there from 10 to 12 tomorrow, and we will also be there from 7 a.m. the morning of the race. So, do you know what? On Father's Day, you'd often be scratching your head, what do I get my dad? Why not go
you
out
get him to run?
Well, even get him to walk the 5K, help him around, have a nice experience. The walk and the run, all of the events go through the National Stud. It's really pleasant. It's not that difficult. So we've seen intergenerational families doing it, and it's a lovely event. Everything finishes up in the square, where there's a little carnival up vintage pieces, carousels, Ferris wheel, and all of the participants get a beautiful medal with Old Vic on it, and there's food in the square for all of the participants.
So that's the weekend. Then on Monday...
On Monday we have a photographic exhibition which Margie and Oris Breed has arranged, and we have a wonderful local girl in the community who has taken up photography in a big way in the last number of years, and a lot of it is of nature. So she would sit on a beach for 5 hours to capture that perfect moment, and I've seen some of her photographs and they're unbelievable. You'd say that must have been, you know, technically altered or whatever, but they're just beautiful. So it's Reed and Fitzpatrick is the lady's name. It's well worthwhile going down and having a look at that. Then on Tuesday we have a library event. So as you can see, May Leonard will be giving a poetry reading in the library, and that's 7 p.m. And then Youth Talk are coming down to meet with Johnny Murtha, Shamie Heffernan and Mick Cannan to prelim the Derby, and that will be going out later on in the week on the News Talk Off the Ball, and that's happening in the Silk and Thomas, but it's a pre-booked event because you need to know the numbers. So everything that's pre-booked can be found on KildareDerbyFestival.ie. So that's
now, Owen just was giving away tickets for Emer Quinn, and that concert is happening on Wednesday at 7:30. It's Emer Quinn and String Quartet. Sounds absolutely beautiful in St. Bridget's. Yeah.
And can I just say, in the cathedral, any artist we've ever had, and indeed Emer has been there before, and I believe you're talking to her on Monday, she's a beautiful, beautiful person, currently living in Switzerland with her husband, but flying in to do this, the acoustics in the cathedral would just make the hair stand up in the back of your neck in the most beautiful way. They just echoes and reverberates around. So we're so lucky to have that stunning building, and thanks to Select Vestry for the accommodation, because it is primarily a place of worship, and Emer gives her voice is so suited to it. It's so ethereal, and of course it's the summer, so you're not going to be having to deal with the cold. But even though it is summer, bring a little blanket for your lap. Dubai Duty Free have supported this festival. I think they're bringing in about 20 or 30 people who are coming in internationally for the event, and they're visiting that day and will be attending the concert. So I'm really looking forward to that one, because I see Emer as a precursor to somebody who could be a headline act for Bridge of 1500 when it comes. But if you haven't been to the cathedral for a performance, please come. And
yep.
If you haven't heard Emer, please come. And again, you can book at KildareDerbyFestival.ie.
Yeah, I have actually seen a performance in St. Bridget's before, and it's absolutely beautiful. I was there at Christmas time. I just want to remind people we do have a pair of tickets to give away here at KFM for Emer Quinn and a String Quartet in St. Bridget's Cathedral, Kildare Town. That is on Wednesday. The doors will open at 7:30. All you need to do is text in VOICE, VOICE, and your name to 0833 97 97 97. Now, one of my favourite things is dogs, Suzanne, and there's a pooch parade on Thursday.
Sure, every time I'm meeting somebody with something at the end of the lead, I'm stopping them. So there's a gentleman who lives in Kilcullen, and I was so lucky to be introduced to him. His name is Martin Bailey, and he actually owns the official Irish Dulux dogs. He is such an aficionado of dogs, a great dog lover. So what I've noticed since we've developed the pedestrian area of the square in Kildare, you see as many dogs as you do people, and they're all well-loved. You know, and I think we've all seen the value of dogs over COVID. That company of a little bit of empathy for a dog, there's nothing like it. So they're building that space when people have been on their own and haven't been able to socialise. So we're putting down the red carpet. We're going to have lots of fun events. We're going to have a portrait artist there for the dogs. We have some stalls with just doggy items on it. We will have a person speaking about welfare. We will have music. Now, so again, if you go online, you can book your dog in.
Yeah.
If you have a Kardashian dog, it could go in. If you have a Downton Abbey dog, if you have a Heinz 57, if you have a Golden Oldie, we have something there for everybody.
Brilliant.
The local pet rescue are coming to walk down the ramp with a number of their dogs, which obviously are very, very special dogs.
Okay, and then the big weekend is happening on Friday. The Dubai Duty Irish Free Derby Festival begins at the Curra Race Course on Friday, the 24th of June. The first race is at 5 o'clock. That is on Friday, as I said. Saturday then, the first race will begin at 1:45. The last race at 5:25. And on Saturday evening, the Blizzards will...
The Blizzards are going to be on the square, which is, you know... I don't know if you remember the last time we had a Derby Festival in 2019. We had an amazing festival. The square was just chock full of people. Everybody came back from the races for lip sync, and this year we thought, how will we follow that up? So we said we need a big name band. because you can't be doing the same thing all the time. So the blizzards are coming in. There's a lot of energy around this. I'm hearing it back from lots of people. So I'd say get into the square early.
Yeah, it's free entry to let people know. And then finally, on Sunday, it's the last day of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Derby Festival. First race at 10 past 2, last race at 5:25 again. And then live music on in the square in Kildare Town from 6:30 on Sunday, June 26th. A very exciting week coming.
One little thing about the Sunday night. I know my good friend Mark Stafford, who's just on, is looking to bring Bruce Springsteen back to Rathankan, and good on him, and I hope he does it. But we're going to have the next best thing, a Bruce Springsteen tribute band on the Sunday night, and he's
brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. So the boss will be in the square to finish off our Derby Festival.
Okay.
So one last message. Anybody who's interested in the events that are ticketed, go on to KildareDerbyFestival.ie. It's not too late even for the race tomorrow. You can come in and register in the morning and walk that route with your dad or your granddad or even your family.
Absolutely, Suzanne.
No longer with us.
Yeah, just took the word, no worries whatsoever, just took the words out of my mouth to remind people, go on to KildareDerbyFestival.ie. But we, this morning, have a pair of tickets to give away for Wednesday night's performance, Emer Quinn and String Quartet. It's in St. Bridget's Cathedral in Kildare Town. Text in your name and voice to 0833 97 97 97. Thank you, Suzanne Doyle.
Yeah, we'll be announcing the winner of that competition in the next 5 or 10 minutes, so keep the messages coming in to us. But a lot happening over the next week or so in Kildare Town. But at the moment, there is a charity cycle that is taking place, and it's been organised by the Pfizer workers. They're cycling from Grange Castle all the way down the country. I think they're going to finish up in Cork in the not too distant future. A great, great feat as well. And on the line is Pfizer Centre 1 lead in Newbridge, Michael Nolan. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. So this charity cycle taking place in aid of the Irish Cancer Society. Tell me a little bit more about it, how the idea came about.
Yeah, so the idea came about, Owen, back, it started really in 2018 and into 2019. The last time the cycle took place was actually in 2019. And it was the brainchild of a great colleague of ours. He was a leader on the site here, Liam Ryan. Liam is originally from Kildare Town and would be very well known in Kildare and very strong GAA connections. But Liam, unfortunately, was diagnosed with cancer himself. And really was the brainchild behind this charity event to raise money and to try and give back to the Irish Cancer Society. Unfortunately, in April 2020, we lost Liam to cancer. And, you know, with the pandemic, then it hasn't taken place since then. But we're absolutely delighted. Great excitement here today that this event is happening now again today. And Liam and his family are in our thoughts.
Absolutely.
Today. So, you know, a really, really good event and for a really good cause.
It is. It's for a brilliant cause, the Irish Cancer Society. The cyclists left Grange Castle earlier this morning. They're going to be arriving in Pfizer in Newbridge shortly. And then where's the final destination or what way does it work?
Yeah, so the way it works, Owen, is that they left Grange Castle. We were on a live WebEx link up to them there. They left Grange Castle site at half past nine this morning. They're en route now. There's big excitement here on the site because they'll actually come into our site here in Pfizer Newbridge shortly after 11 o'clock, about 11:15. And we have a big group of people here ready to cheer them on, and big kind of festival activities here and a great atmosphere. We also have some of the local schools from Newbridge lining the road outside and coming into Newbridge to cheer them on. So the ask would be if people are out and about or driving by and to see the cyclists to give them a honk of their horn and to give them a big cheer and a big wave for such a good event and such a good cause.
How many of them are doing the cycle?
There's over 180 people on cycle. And that's made up of colleagues from the site in Grange Castle, the site here in Pfizer Newbridge, and the Pfizer site in Ringaskiddy in Cork, where the cycle will finish on Saturday afternoon.
Come here, Michael. I'm assuming not all 180 of them are professional cyclists, are they? Dust off the cobwebs on the bike.
There's been a lot of practice happening over the last couple of months for this, Owen. We have three groups. We have like I'm going to call them the novice group, or the new starters, if you like.
Yeah.
And then we have the intermediates, and then we have the professional group. So
right. They're
all starting at different stages. So they should be all on the road now at this moment in time, and we're expecting the first group here at about 11:15.
Yeah, it's super stuff, and it's a bit of crack as well
for
the people who are doing it.
If
people want to donate, how can they do so, Michael?
Yeah, if they just contact the Irish Cancer Society, Owen, is probably the handiest way. The great news is back in 2019, because Liam Ryan, as I said, was the brainchild behind this, we raised over €80,000 back in 2019. And I'm glad to say, as of this morning, we're over €127,000 at the moment, which is brilliant, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. So if you go on to the Irish Cancer Society website, I'm sure as well there'll be maybe a few buckets down around Pfizer this morning as well.
We'll take donations in any form at all.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Listen, well done, €127,000 raised already and counting for the Irish Cancer Society.
Yeah, and it's great. We actually have Liam's wife, Paula, and his daughter Sally and his son Hardy here with us today as well, so we're really happy to have that.
Brilliant, brilliant. They left the Grange Castle facility up in Pfizer earlier this morning. They'll be in Newbridge after 11 o'clock this morning, and then they're going to finish up in Ringaskiddy down in County Cork. All the Pfizer workers raising money for the Irish Cancer Society, and if you can spare a few bob, do give it to them. A great, great cause, and all on the back of, as Michael mentioned, Liam Ryan as well, a good Round Towers man and Kildare man as well. Michael, well done to you and all the all involved, and enjoy the weekend. And hopefully you raise a lot of money.
Great, thanks very much, John.
Thanks, Michael.
Kildare Today. With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
Just want to mention as well that tonight the Kill History Group are launching their History of Kill book in the Old House at 8 o'clock. And it's a brilliant, brilliant book that I have got an advanced copy of. I read parts of it last night, and well done to Brian McCabe and all involved with the Kill History Group. That book is launching tonight at 8 o'clock in the Old House if you're out and about in the Kill area and you want to pop down and get your hands on a copy of that. Right, let's take a look then at the local GAA action over the weekend. Obviously no inter-county teams playing this weekend, so all the focus is on the senior football leagues, and sports editor of the Leinster Leader, Tommy Callaghan, is on the line. Good morning, Tommy.
Morning.
Before we talk about the football, I suppose a bit of a strange one in terms of hurling, that the two Division 1A and Division 1B hurling finals have been called off because Ardclough and Clane can't field respective teams.
Oh, it's very strange. I can't understand it at all, to be quite honest with you, Owen. As you say there yourself, Ardclough and Naas were due to play this evening.
Mm.
And the Division 1B was on, I think, Sunday. I don't know what's going on here, whether there's a row over dates or what, but I mean, it certainly demeans the senior hurling league. The senior hurling league is the second most important club hurling competition in the county, and for a Division 1A final to be off, maybe, I don't know whether there's a walkover, whether a team is just pulling out, and the same team in Division 1B.
Yeah.
Pretty serious, I think, and it certainly demeans the competition, and I'd imagine there would be repercussions over it.
Yeah, from the notification that we got is that they are both walkovers. So Clane have given, I think it was Aero Curraquil, a walkover in their final, and Ardclough have given Naas a walkover in that particular final. As you say, you don't know what the reason is, but it would be worrying, and I would be surprised if Clane and Ardclough couldn't field a team if they don't have enough players, because they're two very strong hurling clubs.
Yeah, no, maybe there's something else behind it. I don't know. I'm only speculating. I don't know, but I would have thought that Ardclough would have been mad keen to play in a Division 1 final against Naas, even though they would certainly be going in as underdogs against a strong Naas team. But at the same time, I would have thought that it would have been a great opportunity for Ardclough to have a really good match before the Senior Hurling Championship gets underway. Now, what the reason, as I say, is not 100%. You wouldn't know these days, weddings and everything else. Maybe there is a problem with that. But I would have thought at the same time that if there was a problem, that the county board would have accommodated them some way. But they would have to wait and see what way it turns out.
Yeah, fixtures then in the EMS Copier Senior Football Leagues tomorrow evening in Division 1. It's Selbridge against St Lawrence's, Carbery against Confey, Clane versus Castle Dermot, Eadstown against Moorfield, Raheens against Sarsfields, and Athy against Naas. That game between Athy and Naas is quite a tasty one, Tommy. Athy top of the table, and Naas are in third, but they have a game in hand and only 2 points separating the two of them.
Yeah, Naas have a game in hand. I think it's on next week. next Tuesday or Wednesday, that's against Confi. And I was at Nace and Castle Dermot last week. Owen Dine made his final at last. Owen got back onto the pitch, and they played the whole 60 minutes plus. A disappointing game from an Nace point of view, but all credit to Castle Dermot, who were down at the bottom end of the end of the division. They're in fourth place. Should be okay, but there's still one or two matches to go. But Nace didn't play well, particularly well at all, and Castle Dermot were very, very unfortunate. They didn't win that match. It ended up in a draw, 11 points to 2-5, the equalising score coming late in injury time, and a dodgy enough free, I have to say, from where I was standing. I thought it was actually a free out rather than a free in. But anyway, Italian Nace is certainly a tasty one. Another tasty one is Sarsfield and Raheens. Raheens gave Italy a bit of a trimming last week in Italy, so this one on tomorrow in Tom Lawler Park in Raheens in Cara. It's always Sarsfield and Raheens is a real local derby. I mean, everybody talks about, when you're talking about local derbies in Newbridge, you're talking about Sarsfield and Moorfield. But over the years, going back, Sarsfield and Raheens, always great rivalry there. And I'd expect a decent crowd in Tom Lawler Park. Both look to be through to the semi-finals, but that won't stop. That won't stop Davy Bucks, Sarsfield, trying to get the better of Frank Hanafy's Raheens, and it could be a tasty one, that.
Yeah, looking at the table, Athy top on 15 points, Sarsfield second on 14, Nace in third on 13, Raheens in fourth on 13, and then bottom of the table, Eadstown on 1 point, second bottom St Lawrence's on 5, third bottom Carberry on 6, and fourth bottom, as you mentioned, Tommy, Castle Dermot on 6 points as well. That's Division 1. Division 2 then, Leixlip look as though they're running away with it at the top. They're on 18 points, Johnstown Bridge in second. Leixlip playing Kilcock tomorrow evening.
Yeah, Leixlip playing Kilcock. Again, look at this division now is split into the top half and bottom half. It'd be complicated, to be quite honest with you. But Leixlip look to be home and hose there. Johnstown Bridge look to be in a good position. Kilcullen after skipping up the last week or two. You'd expect Leixlip to get over Kilcock and cement their division, the promotion to Division 1. That's the league. The leagues are very... They're very competitive. All divisions in the senior leagues are very competitive, and fair play to the county board the way they're under leagues. Especially, I've spoken to many different managers over the years, and especially managers coming from outside the county coming in to take over teams. And one thing they all praise is the way that the senior leagues and the fixtures in general in Kildare now, the way they're run. That they know from practically a week from the day the league starts, they know their fixtures. I remember talking to Barney Rock going back a few years ago when he was in Selbridge, and he said compared to Dublin, Kildare have a great setup with league football. Dublin, he said, you might have a match today and you might have another one for 3 or 4 weeks. You just don't know. But as I say, very, very competitive in all divisions, promotion and relegation. Leixlip look to be home and host there anyway. On the other end of the table, Ballymore, incredibly, after ten games, they haven't got a score, they haven't got a point on the table, and Monasterbin and Clatterinco are 1 and 2 points ahead of them. So there's plenty to play for there. As I say, the division was split, and each played 9 games, and now they're split. So I presume there's another 4 games left once that split came. So this will be round 12. Division 2.
Yeah, Monastrevin play Clatterinco tomorrow evening, and tonight actually in Maynooth, it's Maynooth against Johnstown Bridge. That's Johnstown Bridge in second place. Maynooth are in fifth place. I think a win for Maynooth would actually put them above Johnstown Bridge, or certainly level on points with them. Division 3 then, this is very tight at the top, Tommy. Salins, Alan Wood and St Kevin's all fighting it out for top spot.
Yeah, there's great intensity in Division 3. Again, a split division at this stage of the proceedings. The top half going from force, the bottom half fighting out relegation. Salins have only been beaten once. Kevin's haven't been beaten at all. The two of you, sorry, a bigger pardon, I'm looking at that the wrong way around. That's Salins have only lost one match, the two one. St Kevin's have given 14 points.
I think you're right there, Tommy. Yeah, they haven't been beaten. They've won seven and drawn four.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean that's fair going, you know.
Mm. It's similar with Kill as well. Kill in fourth place, and Salins are playing Kill tomorrow evening. Kill have won five games, drawn six, and yet to be beaten as well.
Yeah, Kill are having a good year ahead of it, and Kill and Salins, of course, they're not that far apart. You might call them a local derby. Well, they're close enough to be fairly intense anyway. That's a certainty. So as I say, a lot to play for. All the matches at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and great opportunity for people to go out. There's no county matches this weekend in Kildare, or for Kildare teams. We're all finished by the ladies, and it's a great opportunity to go and support your club and give them that push to either gain promotion to the higher division or to retain their status.
Yeah, and just finally then to mention, well, first of all, the fixtures in Division 3 tomorrow evening, St. Kevin's against Rathangan, Kill against Salins, Suncroft versus Ellistown, all those games at 6 o'clock. Salins, Alan Wood, St. Kevin's, as we said, fighting it out for top spot at the top of the table. Kill still in with a shout there as well, while at the bottom of the table, it's Nerney, second from bottom, Suncroft, third from bottom, Ellistown. And in Division 4 then, briefly on this, Tommy, Grange Donovan having a great season. They're top on 19 points. Strathfin behind them in second on 16, and then Milltown in third on 16. And the fixtures tomorrow evening, Reban against Grange, there's a tasty one if ever there was one. Reban versus Grange, Kildangan against Rathcoffey, Athgarvan against Castle Mitchell, Robertstown versus Milltown, Arklok versus Strathfin, and Kappa against Ballykelly, Tommy.
Yeah, Grange. Look at Grange. Rath, I mean, nine wins out of 10 matches. You know, 19 points. That's great scoring. That's great consistency, and they'll certainly get promotion. And Strathfin, Milltown, they're on 16 points each, with Robertstown on 13 and Rathcoffey back on 12. So again, a lot to play for, as you say there, a big local derby. You have to fancy Grange the way they're playing at the minute. They're very, very consistent, and they're certainly going to be a step up next year into Division 3.
Yeah, and we'll have all the reports and analysis and scores over the weekend on Sportsbeat Saturday and Sunday, and of course on Kildare Scoreboard on Monday evening. But we'll have to leave it there. Sports editor of the Leinster Leader, Tommy Callaghan, thanks for joining us, Tommy, and good morning.